Blog Talk Radio.
Choices, decisions, frustrations, and pain. Knowing I'm going to forget her someday. While I still can, I'll challenge all my loved ones, every friend, to look inside their hearts and understand that I will love them. I will love them while I still can.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Alzheimer Speaks Radio. I'm so excited because today is September 21st, and it's World Alzheimer's Day. And we are just so grateful to have Mark Wortman with us, who is the Executive Director of Alzheimer's Disease International. We're also going to have Joseph Portelli with us, which is kind of a special guest, and we'll get into him a little bit later. And then Don Field, who is a producer of a film called Shattered Love. But before we get into their stories and all the exciting things that are going on for World Alzheimer's Day, I just want to introduce myself. Again, I'm Lori LeBay, and I'm the founder of Alzheimer Speaks, which is an international resource website. We have the radio show, the blog, and we just launched dementia-friendly businesses and communities yesterday. So very exciting things going on here in Minnesota. Here at Alzheimer Speaks, we believe in giving voice to those afflicted with memory loss and their care partners, empowering them to live purpose-filled lives. Our goal is to raise awareness, give hope, and share the real, everyday life stories of living with dementia. And our hope is to teach people how to live with the disease, not as it. Our channel expert, who is Rick Phelps, and he has early onset, will not be able to partake in the show today. Rick's schedule is extremely busy as well. And Rick is the founder of Memory People on Facebook. He was diagnosed personally with the disease in June of 2010. And Rick started this social support group that has over 2,000 members worldwide now. If you haven't checked out Memory People on Facebook, I highly encourage you to do that. Be a person that is memory impaired. If you are a caregiver, either family or professional, or an advocate, or someone who just wants to learn more, the group really is very compassionate. There's no pitching or selling. It's all about real-time results there. So with no further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce Mark Wortman. Mark is over in London, and like I said, I'm thrilled to death that he's able to join us today with his busy schedule. And he is the Executive Director of Alzheimer's Disease International, which is an organization of organizations representing Alzheimer's disease throughout the world. And today, you know, we're going to share some really exciting news of some new initiatives that they have. So how are you doing today, Mark?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's a very busy day. It's already end of the day here. It's 5 o'clock. But I just Joseph Portelli joining me. He's a good friend, and I hope we can tell a little bit about him more later in the show. So World Alzheimer's Day is a day around the world. It was created in 1994 by ADI and the World Health Organization working together on it as a day that can be used to raise awareness and put a spotlight on Alzheimer's and dementia worldwide. And what we have seen is that step by step, it has grown as an activity all around the world, and people are using it, not only people in the Alzheimer's associations who are our member associations, but many others as well in services for people with dementia, in hospitals, universities, all kind of places. So it's like a movement. And what we can do from ADI is that we provide a theme and we provide posters and other materials for our associations, But basically, this is an event that people can adopt and use and feel in a way they feel comfortable with. And what we see is many, many different activities. And I think one of the most common things on this day is to do a memory walk. So as we speak, I know that in Athens, in Greece, there are 1,500 people out on the street in the center of Athens. I know that in the U.S. there are more than 500 memory walks around this day. It's not always on the 21st. It can be in the weekend or whatever fits best. In the U.K. there are also several hundreds of memory walks around these days. But also in a country like Sri Lanka or Indonesia, they do the same.
Well, that's exciting. I know ours here in Minnesota is tomorrow, and I think a lot of them have them on the weekends, and it's just amazing to see the numbers of people that show up, you know, for these events. It's just absolutely fabulous, and the orchestration of getting people into the parks and the buses and the parking, it's quite something to be part of. So if people aren't familiar with it in your area, I would highly encourage you to check it out. It's quite a powerful experience to be part of a collaboration and kindred spirits walking for a cause there. So can you share with us some of the things you've been up to today? I know it's, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock your time, and it's 11 o'clock here in Minnesota. But what have you been up to for the day for celebrating World Alzheimer's Day?
Yeah, well, our main activity was the release of a report on stigma. And we presented that last night to the media here in London, and also with a press release and a video that were put online at midnight. And the report, the reason we made this is that we have collected a lot of information in the past few years about the size of the problem of dementia. So the number of people worldwide being 36 million in 2010, probably 38 million now. The cost of the disease, that's a lot of information that sometimes frightens people because it's such a huge issue. But if we want to solve it, if we want to get society behind solutions, behind funding for research, behind better services and care, we need to break the barrier that stigma causes, because that creates a distance between yourself and the person with dementia. And we see that many people want to avoid the disease, are afraid to talk about it, are afraid to align with people with dementia. So what we saw in the survey that we did for this report is that many people with the disease and their carers, that they lose their friends, that they have family members who misunderstand. So there is a sort of social isolation and exclusion happening on the personal level, but also on the level of society. And as long as that happens, I'm afraid we're not going to find a solution. So we want to really start a discussion on this topic and become more inclusive. And I think we can see some hopeful signs from other disease areas. For instance, 30 years ago, a similar movement started for people with disabilities who were also excluded, who could not enter buildings or trains or buses. That all changed because they campaigned for it. And I think we need to do the same for people with dementia.
I agree. I saw this
topic, so I can talk for another half an hour, but I shall not do that.
Yeah. Well, I saw the video, and it's very powerful. I have not read the report, but I put it on the blog and pushed it out last night, and very well done and so needed. I mean, we really need to break down these fences and these walls that are built up about the stigmas with this disease. I know when I rolled out my dementia-friendly business program yesterday, people were just shocked at what it's really like, because everyone just kind of thinks, well, you know, they forget a face or a name or they lost their keys. You know, we all have that. And giving them scenarios and watching that video and hearing people talk was extremely powerful. So I really thank your organization for what all you are bringing to the table, and the big changes that you're making throughout the world are absolutely incredible. So kudos to all of you at ADI. Now, for people who want to go see the report or the video, I mean, you can always visit my blog or the website, Alzheimer Speaks, but you're best off going directly to ADI's website, which is www.alz.co.uk. And you can get the site is just loaded with great information. It'll also have information on the World Alzheimer's Day or World Alzheimer's Month because you have a special section now just of events there. Breaks down all of the different associations around the world. You've got a lot of very neat things going on. But I'm really excited today about talking about the new international anthem for Alzheimer's and dementia that you've launched. Can you tell us a little bit about this initiative?
Yep. Sure. Me first, and then I hand over to Joseph because it's his initiatives. I think it's a very nice way. If people want to donate, you can get something back. You can get a song back by downloading it from iTunes. It's not very expensive. It's a dollar something. And the money that we will raise, the net amount, will be split into a little bit for ADI, but most will go to the country where you're from. So if you're in Australia or the U.S. or in Spain, no matter what, we get a breakdown from Apple so we can see where the money comes from and feed that into the Alzheimer's Association over there. But to explain why we did this, and I'm really happy, I think it's a very innovative way of raising awareness, and I think the awareness is even the most important, more important than the money. But that's an initiative of Joseph Portelli, and I would like to introduce him now. He's here next to me on the phone. Joseph.
Hello. How are you, Laurie?
Hi, Joseph. How are you doing?
I'm good.
To have you with us. I'm going to give people just a little bit of background on you first, if you don't mind, and then we'll get into the initiative. Joseph's father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease back in 2004, and at the time he decided to take kind of a fighting position against this disease, and he vowed to himself that, you know, he was going to raise awareness through his music. And so he kick-started an organization and a charity event to raise money for Alzheimer's Australia. And then in 2009, he was invited to compose a song to help promote Alzheimer's Australia advertising in their campaign, Mind Your Mind. And he performed the song Think Ahead to Go Ahead for their annual World Conference in Singapore, which is just an amazing song as well. Since then, he has participated in the fight against Alzheimer's, and it's just grown tenfold. You're just kind of an incredible guy, really using your talents to make a difference. So I commend you very much for what you're doing. Can you tell us about this song and what your hopes are?
Okay, thanks, Laurie. I wrote this song shortly after my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I wasn't much a person to express myself, and we spoke about this yesterday with the stigma. I was kind of afraid to talk to people about it, including my mother and my sisters. So I did what I do best, and I picked up the guitar for myself, and I penned the song How the Times Have Changed, with no intention whatsoever to even think of what we're doing today with it. But I got involved with Alzheimer's Australia Vic with a charity show called Show Compassion, and I got asked to write a song, Think Ahead to Go Ahead, and again I had this song How the Times Have Changed just sitting there, and I recently got signed to a new label, and I had re-recorded the song, and I thought it was just fitting that, you know, it just gets donated to Alzheimer's International, and hopefully it can do the wonders and, you know, be the voice for other carers around the world.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song that really depicts the pain and the process of this disease as you watch somebody go through the progression of the disease. And, you've allowed me to use it in my trainings. And it is so powerful. People, they always just well up. And I'm a firm believer that we have to feel the pain in order to make the change. And this new version, people all over the world can now participate and in an orchestrated fashion really make a difference for less than it would cost them for a cup of coffee, you know, or a Big Mac, you know. And I think people have to take this seriously and realize each one of us has the power to make a difference. And when we each take that step into our own personal power to make a difference and we join collaboratively, it can be amazing what can happen. And now that you're working with ADI, you know, this can have a huge effect. People all over the world in terms of raising funds, raising awareness, and using music, you know, as a language to communicate awareness, I think is just such a beautiful, beautiful position to put this in, because it's such a personal story. And I thank you so much for having the courage, A, to write it and then to share it. Because it's got to be kind of a scary thing when you're throwing your emotions out there to see how people are going to react to it. What type of reaction have you been getting from the song, Joseph?
The yours.
What kind of response have you been getting to the song?
Oh, look, the reason why I pursued it was every time I perform the song, it just creates momentum, it creates awareness. And it creates, another, 100 people or 10 people that don't really know about the disease that then know about the disease. So I think the song itself, it does a lot of talking. And like I've said many times, I'm better doing what I do is singing than talking. And I think, it's the little things, it's the little stones that are going to create the most ripples. And as Mark said, it's a massive disease, but I do believe it's the... You know, it's those little things that we're going to basically find out that are going to undo this huge problem. And I mean, this is a great opportunity for everybody worldwide. We're not asking people to, pull out $50, $10, $20, $100, $1,000. Just download the song for $1.50, and it's not you're not donating money. You're getting a great produced song. You know, great musicians in Nashville. A great producer and good all round team that put all this together. So it's a win-win for everybody. And if you download it in the same territory, then the money goes to that territory as well. So it's a great opportunity where all can join as one to create a massive voice.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to try to play a clip of this, and we'll see how it works, because I was hoping to do it in a different format and wasn't able to, but we'll see what happens here with this. So just a second.
You used to sing me lullabies. As it slowly shuts his eyes, he drifts into a place so far away. He believes he's there today, so lost in time. Let go, dear Jimmy. Haven't seen him for a while. He's been gone 7 years in June. Who's this ball running round my legs? It's a grandson, Dad. It's a surreal soul. It used to be you holding me as we sailed that deep blue sea. How the times have changed. Come on now, take my hand. I'll be with you till the end. How the suns have changed. Mama, mama, please don't cry. I'll dry them tears from your eyes. hush, it slowly dies inside. Watching him fighting away. She holds on to yesterday.
I just think it's such a beautiful song and depicts such a great picture of what it's really like to be living with this disease and watch someone kind of slip through your hands and what it does to those that love these people diagnosed with the disease. What does your family think about this whole thing going international?
I mean, Mum's one of my biggest fans, and, you know, she's obviously, you know, it's a really, you know, cool thing what I'm doing. But at the end of the day, the song, it is a sad song, but it's also a happy song in the sense that, you know, it's a change of generations. And, you know, I think in life, my dad taught me, you got to look at the positives in life, not the negatives. And, I mean, that's the same thing with stigma. I think we're just too busy looking at the negatives of Alzheimer's disease. Let's just look at the positives. And for me personally, now I don't know about the others out there, but you know, my dad's illness obviously, you know, made me closer to my mother. You know, enabled me to write a great song like this as well, which you know, people are now obviously profiting from as well, you know, in the sense that profiting they're using to help, you know, themselves with. So it's a, you know, so a lot of goods come out of it as well. And I think, you know, we've got to look at the positives. You know, everybody's got their good and bad. But I think, you know, we've got to look at the positives and just focus on those things other than, you know, other than the rest. So at this stage, you know, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make a drink. You know, I've done all I can. I've, you know, gotten record up the company behind it, produced it as best we possibly can, put in, you know, a good marketing template behind it. At the end of the day now, it's up to the people whether they're going to download it or not. And it will really sort of show who cares and who doesn't, basically. So it's, you know, if someone can't fork out $1.50, really, are they really on the same page as what I am? Probably not, you know. So it'd be interesting to see what happens now.
Yeah, it definitely will. It's a powerful, powerful story and set to music that I think will really touch a lot of people's hearts. What I have found is, like you said, it's really a healing process for people to realize they're not alone in this disease, that others are struggling with it. They're learning to love in different fashions. They're learning to become, you know, a lot of times a much deeper person than they ever imagined they could be. I know for myself, you know, I can love at a whole new level I didn't even know existed because of this disease, which is such a gift. And to overlook that, the lessons that can be taught through this disease are really quite beautiful. And not that they're not painful at times, but I think if we can learn through those lessons and feel the pain, and, you know, then we're able to move through it and see the beauty of the relationship, because really it is about our relationships. That's the bottom line. You can have the fancy cars and the big house and the great job and all the status in the world, but if you don't have the core of those relationships, you know, you're just kind of a lost soul. And I think Alzheimer's is here to really teach us to focus on those relationships and how precious they are and how valuable at any stage of this disease. The person is still there and may communicate with us on a different level than what we're used to. And it's up to us to be able to change and kind of learn the new language that they're here to teach us. So, Joseph, what's the best way for people to be able to go download the song? Should they go to your website, josephportelli.com, .au?
You can go to ADI's website. It's on there as well. You can go to www.josephportelli.com.au, and it obviously just says, just following the instructions, where to download. it's very simple. And also for the older generation that don't know how to use iTunes and that, you know, just tell your granddaughter or your niece or your son, I'm sure they know how to use iTunes. They've got an iTunes account, and get them to download it and just burn on a CD. It's pretty simple, really. So that's basically, we've made it as simple as possible. It's a simple song, but it's a simple things in life that obviously, you know, create the big journeys. So, basically that's what you do.
Well, and I have to say that you guys have made it extremely easy to not only be able to do, but to be able to find on your site. I mean, it's extremely simple on Alzheimer's Disease International site. It's very easy to find on their site as well. They're, you know, talking about the new initiatives and what's in the news, you know, so very, very simple. So don't be scared of your computers, and please don't be scared, you know, to spend, you know, a buck and a half to really help this movement along. This is a small investment with huge gains for people all around the world, and we really need to pull together as one. I see that all the time with the people that I talk to throughout the globe. This is not a disease that is, you know, pertinent to, you know, a certain culture or area or type of person or age. This can attack anybody at any time, and we really need the funds to not only help the research, but to help support those living with this disease. So, again, Joseph, thank you so much for all you are doing for Alzheimer's Disease International and all of us around the world utilizing your talents. This is a huge gift, and I hope you feel the love and appreciation that comes back to you for donating your time and your energy for such a magnificent cause. So it's really...
Thank you, Ron. Laurie, it's a pleasure, and you know, hope that it does what, you know, I'm confident that it will do, you know, just spread the word, and obviously it's the voice for every carer out there, and, you know, thank you once again, and talk to you soon, mate.
Okay, thank you.
Laurie, this is Mark. There is another way to find the song, and I did that myself. I went to the Apple web shop where you can download songs, and I just typed in Joseph Portelli, curious if I could find it, and it popped up immediately, both the single and the EP. He also made an EP, so I downloaded it on my iPad.
Okay, great. I did that last night too. And just so people know how to spell Joseph's last name, it is Portelli. So Joseph Portelli. Again, if you just Google him, it'll come up. Or, of course, the name of the song is How the Times Have Changed. Again, that's How the Times Have Changed. There'll be lots of stuff that pops up with that. I will, as always, after the show, be doing a blog article, which will give you all the links as well. And I think last night I even, I take that back, Joseph had done a video kind of introducing the song and stuff too, so that'll be in the article as well with that. And again, you'll be able to get the article on and the report on stigmas along with the video. I did post that last night and push that out, and I got a lot of response on that already. People were just thrilled with that report, Mark. So again, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you would like to tell our audience regarding this kind of international anthem, Mark?
Well, I think it would be great if people can forward it to their friends. I did the same last night. I have a LinkedIn account, and I send it out to all my friends. And it's amazing what kind of responses you get from people you haven't talked to for years, and people you don't know that they are affected by Alzheimer's as well, and then you find out that they are indeed. So, yeah, I can really recommend that. It's giving them a different way to look at it, and like Joseph said, we have to look more at the positives and not at the negatives.
Yeah, also, Laurie, I think what I'm told by the social media guy from the record company, it's already gone out to 67,000 this week, has been over 3,000 likes on the Facebook page, and it's had a coverage of over 67,000. So, you know, 67,000, you know, friends of friends have seen it now, obviously, whether they've put their potential downloaders as well. So we're only in the first week. But it's already started off on a good note.
Wonderful. Well, that's fantastic. I also want to talk about another thing that's going on, and that is our another guest here, Dawn Field. And Dawn is a newfound friend of mine. She is a movie producer, and she is working on a film called Shattered Love. Dawn, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Lori. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us. I know that this film has just been really true to your heart and to all the actors and producers and directors that are taking part in this. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about the memorial wall and how that works, because this is another initiative where people can help support the disease and help raise awareness. So can you tell us a little bit more about the memorial wall?
I can. I want to start by saying that, you know, this is a short film, not a feature film, so there's no financial reward at the end of a short film. They usually go to festivals. You just put them out on the internet. There's no real business model there for you to make any money back off that. So what we're having to do to get in order to get the movie made is we're asking for the potential fans of the movie, people who care about this disease, care about moving pieces and emotional pieces that get people involved and raise awareness. We're asking them to kind of get involved and help us make this film happen. So we've created a fundraising campaign where one of the aspects of the campaign is at the end of the film, where the film credits scroll, we're going to have a memorial wall and dedicate that to the names of anyone who's died from the disease, suffered from the disease, or is living with and struggling with the disease, and caregivers as well. So for contributing to the film and helping us get the film made, we will honor you or your loved one's name on that wall. And that's just one of the many incentives that we have to get people involved and help us make sure we get this film made. Films are very expensive. It takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of equipment. And we're doing this like a big studio budget film. It's going to look beautiful. It's going to have high production values. It's not, you know, just a low budget, no production value film. We're really going all out with this film because we do feel like it'll make a difference. And we do feel like this film will raise a lot of awareness and be a really important vital piece.
Well, that is wonderful. How is the film going to be distributed? Will it just be at film festivals, or will people, you know, how will they be able to watch this, or is it going to be something that's going to be downloadable, or how does that work?
Kind of all of the above. Our first tier of distribution is going to be to the film festivals, because we really do think that because of the emotionality of the film, the level of actors we have involved, the subject matter of the film, its importance, its relevance, we really do feel like we have a good shot at winning an Academy Award. And I don't really say that to pat us on the back and go, oh, we're so great. I mean that in that that's what it would take to really raise awareness and make this film stand out and make a difference and get seen by a lot of people. So the first kind of strategy we're taking at it is entering it into all the major film festivals. Mark, London is one of ours. The London Film Festival is one of the ones we've earmarked to try to premiere at. And that's going to be our first leg of approach. And then a lot of the film festivals won't let you distribute your film on the internet prior to premiering or screening at their festival. So there's some kind of waters we have to navigate with that. But depending on what festivals we get into and how that all plays out, at some point, yes, it would be, you know, available somewhere on the internet for download or whatever. And then the third market that we're hoping for is for it to be used somehow in just educational and awareness materials. You know, to be packaged up or bundled in with some kind of awareness or educational type materials. So there's just a whole lot of ways that this film can get out there and get seen and be useful.
Oh, I can see it being very useful for training. Really, really powerful. Very powerful.
And again, it's not that there's anything necessarily so factual in there. It's not like a documentary or anything like that. But, you know, as you guys were talking about with Joseph's song, and I think what is that phrase that you said, Lori, earlier? You got to feel the pain to make change?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So that's really what film is really best at. You know, we have the ability through this film to really kind of reach in deep to people's emotions and affect them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of our strategy. It's like let's use what we know how to do, which is bring forth emotions and feelings and just gut reactions. Let's use that and bring that through the medium of film to get people's attention and raise the awareness.
And that is very powerful. That is what I do with training. I call it emotional-based training. And I'm all about getting people to laugh and cry, to feel kind of this roller coaster of emotions with this disease, because it allows us to change our mindsets. I use an example of, you know, when I was pregnant with my daughter, I never wore my seatbelt. I just didn't. You know, I was in a car accident when I was 20, and they told me it was a 50-50 chance if I had my seatbelt on, if I would have lived or died. But then, you know, my daughter grew up, went to school, and she got pounded in school about wearing the seatbelt, wearing the seatbelt, wearing the seatbelt.
Mm.
So she came home and drove me nuts with that. So now I always wear my seatbelt because I felt the pain.
Right. You have that emotional connection to it now.
It made the emotional connection, which is what film does, which is what music does. It digs deeper, and it allows us to resonate. And it doesn't just hit us and leave. It like, embeds itself in us.
Yeah.
And I think that's the trick. And so the emotional-based training and those types of material are extremely powerful. I know it's worked very well for me, and like I said, I've used Joseph's music in the past in trainings and stuff, and just very, very powerful. And I could see the film since I've read the script. Now, Mark, you read the script. What did you think? I was just kind of shocked at the twist and turn, and we can't give anything really away with it. But did you have a chance to read the script, Mark?
Yes, I did, yeah. It's very moving. And I saw some photos from the actor, so I think it's an interesting concept. But of course, I cannot reveal anything.
No, because
it has potential on it.
Yeah. So now the London Film Festival. Do you know when the date is for that?
No, I have no idea.
Don,
I believe it's sometime in March. I could Google it real fast. We have several film festivals on our list. It's coming up.
Okay, so that'll be here before you know it. Well, that would be fun to go see. So, can the general public even go to those, or is it invitation only and red carpet? What's the poop with those? I have not a clue.
Well, film festivals are generally open to the public, just generally speaking. I guess you'd be limited to if you lived in London, of course, or if you wanted to travel to London. But, yeah, most film festivals are geared towards, you know, allowing the public to come in and watch the films as well. They're not usually private.
Okay. I had not a clue on that word.
If I can give you a tip, I'm originally from the Netherlands. There is a very big film festival, especially with documentaries, in Rotterdam every year. It's very high level.
Okay.
So should look that up if that's an opportunity as well.
In Rotterdam?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. I will definitely look that up.
Wonderful. Now,
IDFMA, I think.
I'm sorry?
IDFMA.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Now, Don, I know that you are very interested in raising awareness with this film, but also trying to raise funds to be able to help organizations. And if you want to talk a little bit about, you know, what your plans are for that and who you're looking at helping, that would be wonderful.
Well, yeah, we've already raised a little bit of money. We need some more, as always. Filmmakers will always tell you they need more money. But, you know, like I said, the only way we're going to get the film made is if we can get people to donate to support the film. We've created what's called a crowdfunding campaign, and crowdfunding states that you ask a lot of people for a little bit of money rather than a couple of people for a lot of money. So what we're hoping to do with our crowdfunding campaign is reach out to as many people as possible. You can donate $15, you can donate $100, you can donate whatever. And for each of those donation levels, you'll get certain prizes and certain rewards and certain incentives. And that's kind of our strategy towards raising the money that we need for this film. And, Mark, I just wanted to also let you know that if we have a fundraising goal, in other words, we know how much money we need to make the film, and if we happen to raise more than that through the crowdfunding campaign, we want to donate 25% of that to ADI.
Yeah, that's very great. I saw that, yeah. And another 25% to the Alzheimer's Association. And
yes,
that's also a very good organization.
Yes, exactly. We chose those two, your organization and Alzheimer's Association, as the two we wanted to support. And we're going to give 25% to each for a total of 50%. So half of whatever we raise over and above our goal, we're going to donate. And you can get things like wristbands. We have this awesome purple wristband that we've done up. We came up with the saying called Proud to Care. And proud to care can mean two things. You're proud to care about the disease and have some awareness for it. And it can also be from the perspective as a caregiver. You're proud to be a caregiver. Because you go into our film thinking it's about one thing, you realize in the end it's about something else. But at the heart of the story, it's really about the caregiver. It's kind of a unique film in that it's kind of told from both perspectives, which was our goal, is to kind of show both sides of the reality. But at the end of the day, it's kind of really more the story of the caregiver. So we came up with these great bracelets, and we have producer credits available. If you want to get involved in the making of the film and get a real producer credit, you can do that. So, you know, we're on Indiegogo, which is I-N-D-I-Gogo, Indiegogo.com, and it's Shattered Love. You can just keyword search Shattered Love. And we're going into production in October, so, you know, time is a little bit of the essence, but if anybody wants to go to that site and donate to help our film out, we'd really appreciate it.
Well, that would be great. Again, it's just it's so nice to have all this coming together on World Alzheimer's Day. It's just so appropriate to see the world joining forces to make a difference. And I really appreciate all your efforts in terms of what you're trying to do as well, Dawn.
I would like to add one thing. When I went into this, I wasn't really aware of the numbers. And as the film started coming together and the director and the DP and the actors all came together and started donating their time and volunteering to make this piece, it started striking me as kind of shocking how many of them had painful personal experiences with Alzheimer's. And right now, with the cast and crew that I have, I would say 80% of them have been touched by this disease in some significant way. And when I went into this initially, I had no idea. And I found it very upsetting. And it's made me, you know, really afraid for the world, because the way this is doubling and tripling and increasing, it's frightening.
Yeah, it really is. We've got to get a grip. And this is not something that can be ignored any longer. From an emotional standpoint, from, you know, physically having enough bodies to even care, to the economical impact that this disease is going to take on people. It's one where we have to join forces together. We have to work together. We have to stop being siloed and trying to recreate the wheel over and over and over. We have to share resources and do the right thing, you know, because we don't have time to waste.
Yeah.
This disease is not saying, you know, it's going to be here in a while. It's here in a huge force. It's very underfunded, and that's got to change.
You know, it kind of strikes me as what happened with the AIDS epidemic. You know, it kind of burst, you know, it's kind of there bubbling under the surface. It's happening. Then all of a sudden it erupts, and then everybody takes notice, and a bunch of people die from it. Then people really take notice. And then everybody kind of comes together, battens down the hatches, and says, okay, let's figure out what's causing this.
Mm-hmm.
Just figure out what it is.
Yep.
And, you know, unfortunately, I think, you know, there's some unfortunate statistics about once the brain is damaged, there's not a whole lot that can be done in some respects. But so the key really lies in the prevention and finding out the cause.
Definitely.
May I say about this? Lori?
Yes?
This is Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. One thing is that it's quite amazing how quickly the AIDS movement has found solutions. So if you really join hands, put a lot of effort in, put a lot of money in funding of research, it's possible to find solutions. And AIDS is not a death sentence anymore. And I think we need to aim for the same for Alzheimer's. The other thing is you're very right about prevention. If people are only diagnosed in the late stage of the disease, then there's not much you can do anymore, only care for them well. But if we know it earlier, then with certain dementias, like vascular dementia, then you still can do secondary prevention after diagnosis and make sure that it's not getting worse. But for the majority of the dementias, including Alzheimer's disease, the prevention is probably the best strategy for the future, because the changes in the brain start already maybe 20 years before you have the first symptoms. So it's very important that we pay attention to the risk factors for dementia and for Alzheimer's disease. And that's very similar with heart disease and diabetes. So live a healthy life, eat well, don't smoke. Those kind of things are beneficial to avoid Alzheimer's disease as well.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate you all joining forces with us today and sharing your time. And is there anything else you'd like to add, Mark? I'll kind of go round robin here and just make sure that we've covered everything we need to.
Sure, we did, yeah.
Okay. And Joseph, anything you want to add? Is he still there? Or?
Yes, Leah. Yeah, Mark, just thanks for having me on the radio show, and keep up the good work.
Well, you too, and I appreciate all you're doing. So you guys have a great rest of your evening. And Dawn, anything else that you would like to add before we close the show?
No, I think I'm good. Thank you again for the opportunity. And Mark, it was very nice to meet you, and Joseph as well.
Yeah, same for me.
Likewise, Dawn.
Wonderful. Well, then I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show. I do want to make an announcement that the Dementia Chats, which is a webinar series that I do that's free to the public, is not going to take place tomorrow. There's just too much going on with Alzheimer's tomorrow. And so we are actually going to change our dates and not do them on Saturdays. We're going to do them on Tuesdays, the 2nd and the 4th Tuesday of the month. And that'll be 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central, noon Pacific time. They are all recorded, so people can always go back later and listen to them. And that is a program where I interview a couple of people with dementia, and people are invited to make comments and ask questions as well. And we've got lots of good programming coming up on the radio show. So, again, like always, we are a little grassroots effort here. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends on Facebook. You can email it. You can download it. Use it however you can to help raise awareness. And please don't forget to help out, if you can, with these two important causes. How the Times Have Changed with Joseph Portelli's new international anthem for Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia can be uploaded. You can go to Alzheimer's Disease International website. You can go to Joseph Portelli's website, or you can go directly to iTunes and pick up the song or his EP, which has three other songs with it too, for less than a cup of coffee. And you'll be moving mountains here with us as we join forces together. And then Dawn's film, of course, Shattered Love, again, another a brilliant way to be able to raise awareness and help out. And that is, again, if you Google Shattered Love movie or go to Indiegogo, you'll be able to find the film and be able to sponsor that as well. So for everyone here today, again, thank you so much for all of your time. I look forward to hearing from you all again with updates as to what is moving on and how things are going at a fast pace with this change. We're going to go ahead and close the show with a little bit more of the song, How the Times Have Changed.
For memories to pop alive, let go to Jimmy. Remember me, your son, your very best friend.
thank you all, and have a blessed day. And go out there and knock them dead on World Alzheimer's Day.